And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Do you believe in Mount Everest? Do you believe that that mountain actually exists? I've never seen it, but I have read about it. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen people interviewed who have climbed to the top of it. And I have seen it on television. But does it really exist? The answer, I believe, is yes. I believe that Mount Everest is there. That is faith that is based upon evidence that has been provided. Do you believe in Jesus of Nazareth? Do you believe that there was a man who walked this earth and died for your sins and mine? Do you believe that he ascended back into heaven and is now at the right hand of God? Well, I haven't seen him, but I believe in him. Do you? It's our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world. We do hope that you'll take your Bible and be prepared to study along with us as we turn our attention to God's Word. You might want to go ahead and open to John chapter 9 as we'll begin our study there. Last week we asked the question, what have you heard about Jesus? There are many who have heard about Jesus, but they hear something that is not true. They hear a lie that man tells about the Christ. There are others who have heard the truth, yet they do not have an understanding of it. They just have bits and pieces. But as we learned last week from John chapter 6, there are those who have heard and have learned. They are those who come to Christ. Those are the people that we want to be identified with. We want to be part of that group that has heard and has learned. Part of that learning process is to take the things that we hear and allow them to cause faith within us. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 9, and we'll begin our reading in verse 34. To give you a little bit of background here, Jesus has healed a man on the Sabbath day. This man was blind from birth. The man was presented to the leaders of the Jews in the synagogue, and they questioned him thoroughly, even brought in his parents and questioned them. And finally, they took this man and they cast him out of the synagogue. They cast him out of the synagogue because he claimed that one named Jesus of Nazareth had healed him. When they told them that they didn't know who this man Jesus of Nazareth was, that he should give the glory to God instead, this man chastised them, said, "It's a marvelous thing that you do not know where this man comes from when he has restored my sight or given me my sight." This man was an unlearned man compared to these leaders of the people. Yet he was an honest man. He was a man who was honest enough to know that they were teaching something that was not true, that they were denying the very evidence that had been placed before them. When this man was chastising these leaders for not acknowledging that Jesus was in fact the Christ, they answer him in verse 34 and say, "You were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the question that we have before us today. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? It's the exact same question that Jesus asked this man. He asked him if he believed in the Son of God. I want you to notice a couple of things. Jesus came to this man after he had been cast out of the synagogue, when he was at a terrible, low place in his life. This should have been a marvelous day for this man. He had never been able to see. Yet on this day, when he was brought before the leaders of his own people, he was struck down. Faith in Jesus can help to lift us up. In fact, it can lift us up even when all others are against us and all others have struck us down. Even this man's parents turned their backs on him. In the same chapter, John chapter 9, if we back up to verse 20, we see that when his parents were brought before the rulers and they were questioned regarding the return of his sight or the giving of his sight, they said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. He is of age? Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. If the man's parents had simply said, He is of age, you can ask him because we don't have the information, that would have been one thing. But instead, because of their fear of the leaders of the people, they said, You just ask him, and you take whatever answer he gives. Instead of supporting their son, standing beside him, and enjoying this tremendous day of rejoicing because of the great thing Jesus had done for him, they left him out to face the rulers of the people by himself. They did not support him. They did not love him. They abandoned him. Now, we need to understand the pressures that were put both on this man and on his parents. When this man chastised the leaders of the Jews, they said, You were completely born in sin. They believed this because the man had been born blind. At the beginning of this chapter, when this man and Jesus first met, Jesus' disciples believed the same thing. And they asked him, Who sinned that this man should be born blind? Him or his parents? Jesus said, Neither. Oftentimes we see somebody suffering something and we believe that maybe God has done this to the person. Maybe this is a result of his sin. There are things that can happen to us that are bad, that are because of our sin. If a man uses drugs, he destroys his body, and he will suffer greatly because of the sin that he has committed. But on this particular occasion, the man had done nothing wrong, and his parents had done nothing wrong. Yet they abandoned him. Rather than take the wrath of the leaders of the people, they abandoned their own son to their anger. Jesus came to this man at this point in his life, and he asked him, Do you believe on the Son of God? When things are very difficult for you, when everyone seems to be against you, even sometimes when your own family and those that you love turn against you, ask yourself the same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If the answer is yes, allow that faith to lift you up. Allow that faith to encourage you and to help you continue on, no matter who may stand against you. Jesus asked this man, Do you believe in the Son of God? It was very interesting that when he asked who the Son of God was, Jesus said, You have seen him. This man hadn't seen very many people in his life, for he had just been healed that day. But he had seen the Lord. Imagine that you would be healed of a terrible disease, the terrible disease of not having your eyes in this case, and the very first thing, or one of the first things that you saw when you opened your eyes, would be the Lord. I think of those who come to this earth blind, who live their entire lives blind, but are faithful to God, and they pass from this life to the next. I wonder what they see first on the other side. This was not the only time that Jesus asked someone if they believe. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is pursued by two blind men. In verse 27, we find the two blind men follow him and cry out saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. He asked them the question, Do you believe that I can do this? I'd like to reword the question a little. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Now, I want to be very careful here. I know if you listen to a lot of religious programming on the radio or if you watch it on television, you know there are many people who will stand here in front of a camera and they will tell you that they are able to heal you using the Spirit of God, that the power of God working through them is able to heal your body or to heal your mind. And that's not what I'm talking about at all. There was a day when there was miraculous healing, but that time has passed, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Rather, I'm talking about a much deeper kind of healing. You see, the Bible often uses the language of illness or the need for healing to represent a spiritual sickness that sin brings about. Notice the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 8, beginning in verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. He's looking at the people of Israel who have left God, and now they are lost because they have left Him. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Jeremiah was lamenting the case of the people of God, for they had left God. God had provided for them healing, healing for the sin that they were in. He refers to a balm in Gilead. And is there no physician there? We know that there is a physician when it comes to spiritual sickness. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 29, we find that Levi, this is the one that we know as Matthew, who was one of the apostles, Levi gave a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus here is referring to himself as a physician, that great physician, the one who can heal our sickness. We're talking about the sickness that comes about from being separated from Jehovah God by our sins. That spiritual sickness, that eternal sickness that afflicts the soul when we sin. Jesus came to heal that. Now these two blind men were seeking after Jesus, asking that their eyes be restored to them. Jesus asked, "Do you believe that I can do it?" Their answer was yes, and they really did believe it. Sometimes we say we believe when we don't. But these men really did believe. For Jesus said, "Let it be to you as your faith is." And because their faith was true, because they really did believe that Jesus could do it, He did heal them, and they received their sight. Now I'm asking you today, regarding your spiritual sickness, the sickness that comes about from the sin that we commit, do you really believe that Jesus can heal you? If you don't, you'll never turn to Him. Jesus asked these men this question, and their faith made them whole. You're going to have the same degree of faith that they had in order for you to be made whole. Because you're going to have to come to Christ, depending on Him, trusting in Him, relying on Him. That's how we demonstrate faith, and then obeying Him. When we do those things, Jesus will heal us of that sin sickness. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? That was the question asked to those two blind men. We find Jesus asking a similar question in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 47. Here Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward Him, and He said of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to Him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And He said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." Do you believe that Jesus knows the future? On this particular occasion, Nathanael was brought to Him, and he did believe in Christ because He told him what had happened in the past. Jesus had been able to see what was not before Him. He had been able to look through time and see what was happening. Do you believe that Jesus can still look through time? Do you believe that He can tell the future? Looking into the future is a mark of wisdom for us. And I don't mean in a miraculous sense, for that does not exist on the earth today. But rather us simply considering what is down the road. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning in verse 28, Moses said, "For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." The nation had become short-sighted. It could only see what was in front of it. Moses said, "We need to look further down the road. We need to consider the end of our course. We need to consider the latter end." Now, Jesus has told us what's going to happen. Jesus has given us a picture of the future. Do you believe that Jesus knows what is going to happen in the future? In Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with Me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with Me on My throne, and as I also overcame and sat down with My Father on His throne." Do you believe Jesus knows the future? Do you believe He can see what's going to happen? If so, then you must believe that there is a place where we can go, where we can reign with Christ. That has been offered, but only to those who are His servants, only to those who are obedient to Him. Do you believe that Jesus can see what will happen in the future? In 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, we read, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Jesus can see the future. There is a time of victory. But for us to overcome, we must have faith. Faith that Jesus can see what is coming. Faith that Jesus has taught us what is coming. This is a very interesting passage to me because it ties together loving God, keeping His commandments, and being born of God. And then it shows us the result of loving Him, keeping His commandments, and being born of God. The result is victory through faith. So many times man wants victory through faith, but without believing to the point of obedience. God doesn't allow that to happen. Oftentimes man wants victory through faith, but without believing to the point of being born again. God will not allow that to happen. If you love Him, you will obey Him. You will be born again, and then the victory will be yours through faith. Finally today, in our last couple of minutes, let's turn our attention to John chapter 11. And begin reading with me at verse 25. Here Jesus says to the sister of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die." Do you believe this? Let me ask you the question. Do you believe Jesus can give you life? That's what He was claiming. He was claiming to have the power to take that which was dead and make it alive. Now, He showed that in a physical sense. I'm asking you about a spiritual sense. Do you believe He can take you now in your spiritual deadness and make you alive? The answer, of course, as the Bible gives it, is yes. But what I'm asking you is that even if you say you believe this, does the way you live show people that you believe Jesus is going to give you life? In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Four very vital questions that Jesus asked, all about Himself one way or the other. I ask them to us today. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus knows that there is victory in the future and He can tell us how to get there? And finally, do you believe that in that victory, Jesus can give you life? We must believe in Him in order to be saved. That's what He told us in John 8 and verse 24. God requires of us that we come to Him in faith. Faith built upon evidence. Just like I believe that Mount Everest exists, having never visited it, I believe that Jesus did everything that's recorded because of the evidence that has been provided for me to believe. I believe the things that I cannot see because I have demonstrated the things that I can see. This should be enough for each and every one of us, for God has manifested Himself to man through His Son. Do you believe? Is your faith strong enough that it will move you to obedience? That you will repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ? That you will then submit yourself in baptism in water that you might be saved? That your sins will be washed away? That you can be added to the Lord's body? If you will do those things, then Jesus can save you. Jesus can take away that sickness that your sin brings.